talking about multi-level marketing or MLM companies here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Some companies use network marketing to move product. You can think of Amway and Mary Kay, Tupperware. Consultants get paid by selling the product directly to their friends and family. They recruit new sellers into their downline. That's the MLM word where the people at the top make money, sometimes a lot of it, people below them not so much, and some people lose lots of money buying all the products to sell. Millions of Americans, they're involved in these direct selling businesses, and there's litigation involving these companies. So we're taking a closer look at how MLMs work with your insights along the way. Did you previously work in MLM? What was it like? Did you struggle to sell your inventory that you had to buy? Or was a lot of the job trying to recruit people to work under you? Join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Laura Sutherland is administrator for the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection at the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Laura, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
And we have Rick Ross, who is the founder and executive director of the Cult Education Institute. Rick, welcome to you.
Good morning.
Well, Laura, let's start with you. There are multiple lawsuits pending against the women's apparel company LuLaRoe. And in January, the state of Washington filed a class action lawsuit. Its attorney general called it a pyramid scheme. What is the difference between a multi-level marketing company and a pyramid scheme?
That's a great question, Kate. And it's a difficult one to answer a lot of times for consumers who get involved in multi-level marketing programs and companies. The basic difference between a pyramid scheme and a multi-level marketing scheme, that just rolls off the tongue, is that the money that you're using in the company is predominantly to bring in more distributors of the product that the company is selling. So you're making your money off of the company is making its money off of including more distributors as opposed to making its money off the products they're asking you to sell. That is the key difference in what typically makes it a pyramid scheme.
Well, sometimes it's really tricky to know whether the focus is the products or the people moving in. So it perhaps is tricky to tell what the structure really is to the company.
That's absolutely right. It can be really difficult to tell. And so when consumers are approached by a company to look at one of these multi-level marketing schemes, they should do so with caution, and they should do a lot of research to determine whether or not, in fact, it is a legitimate business or it is, in fact, a pyramid scheme. And the way that we encourage consumers to look at these companies is to really think about what it is you're asking to be sold. And is it a product that people are going to buy? Are you going to be able to sell this product, and would your family and friends buy that product? And also, are they asking you, is the emphasis of the company for you to bring in more distributors of the product rather than selling the product itself? If you look at the financial structure of the company and your compensation is premised predominantly on how many people you bring in, that is a red flag, and it's more than likely a pyramid scheme that would be illegal.
Rick, your institute researches MLMs, and you're regularly hearing complaints about multi-level marketing companies. How have you seen them affect people's lives?
Well, people become involved, and it's as if they become embedded in a kind of subculture generated by the MLM. That is, they become hyperactive in it. Their relationships become dominated by the MLM culture, and people who disagree with them or criticize what's going on, for example, family and old friends, are marginalized and even labeled negatively as dream breakers. And the focus is on the MLM, and this can cause family estrangement, deterioration of friendships. And it's led to divorces and even child custody battles in situations that I've seen.
You talked about tried to get someone out of Amway once, and it was really difficult. What was so difficult?
Well, the person was so completely caught up in Amway and its influence that they were unable to think critically and analyze the MLM from a business standpoint. The young man's father was a CPA and a member of a large accounting firm. And his son was a business major at a university. And he was planning on dropping out of school to go full time with Amway because he saw that as his future. But yet his father kept pointing out, you're actually losing money and you're not going anywhere. And the business plan is flawed. And I think where the son finally realized that something was really wrong was when we brought up the issue of how coercive persuasion and manipulation works. And we looked at some of the tricks that groups called cults use to gain undue influence over people. And we could see parallels in the way he was recruited and his membership was retained within Amway.
We're talking about multi-level marketing with Rick Ross. His organization researches what attracts people to these MLM companies. We also have Laura Sutherland with us. She's from Wisconsin's Consumer Protection Agency, gathering your thoughts as well. What questions do you have about multi-level marketing? Did you previously work for an MLM? What was that like? Join our conversation at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Laura, how often does your agency get complaints about multi-level marketing companies or pyramid schemes that went wrong? What is that complaint level like?
So that's a good question. We do get some complaints, and we do have a couple active investigations right now, but it is not an industry that generates a lot of complaints, and perhaps in part from what Rick Ross was just describing. Oftentimes, by the time a consumer is aware that they've been taken advantage of, or that in fact that the MLM or the pyramid scheme is a scam, they have invested a significant amount of money. There's a significant amount of information that's been given to them. They have a lot of contracts and tutorials, et cetera, and they're quite vested personally. And I think it's difficult for consumers often to recognize that they've been scammed at that point and that it is not their fault and that, in fact, the company has predatory practices. So oftentimes consumers will blame themselves and will not be inclined to file a complaint. The other reason that you don't often see a lot of complaints is consumers may not understand that they're being scammed. They may think that there's an issue that they believe in with the company's purposes and that they believe they should be making money. And the reason they're not making money is not their fault. And that if they had just followed the protocol, in fact, they would be compensated the way they were promised at the beginning. So we often don't see a significant number of complaints in this space, but that doesn't mean that we don't look at it because some complaints, one in and of itself, can instigate an investigation and have us look into a company because, of course, as a consumer protection agency, we understand the red flags for a company like this. So a single complaint can actually make quite a big difference for our investigative powers.
We're learning about MLM's multi-level marketing businesses with Rick Ross studying the attraction to them and Laura Sutherland from Wisconsin's Consumer Protection Agency. Social media has given rise to a new platform and access to a new generation of people who are recruited into MLMs selling essential oils like doTERRA or leggings from LuLaRoe. Have you worked for a multi-level marketing company? Do you think MLMs are misunderstood and that yours is different? What has working for an MLM afforded you to do? And what do you want to ask about how they work? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in just a minute for more conversation here on the Ideas Network. Talking about MLMs, multi-level marketing companies, here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we've seen the MLM story show up recently in media. Showtime is set to debut a dark comedy series next month about a woman whose life is destroyed by a pyramid scheme, and it's set in Florida in the early 90s, starring Kirsten Dunst. A recent Vice documentary focuses on the real-life clothing apparel company LuLaRoe that's embroiled in litigation by consultants who are in this MLM. And one woman describes what happened when she announced on social media her intent to leave LuLaRoe.
The more I spoke out, the more I shared my story, the more friends unfriended me. It's just, it's mind games. It's cult mind games.
Do you know someone who works for an MLM? Have you been trying to convince them to leave? What has that been like? Do you work in MLM now, and do you like it? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Rick Ross researches what attracts people to these companies. He stays with us. Lara Sutherland is with Wisconsin's Consumer Protection Agency. Rick, if people are... You know, you were talking earlier about cults and MLM schemes having similar characteristics. Can you look at that a little more closely for us? Where do you see the similarities? Where do you draw them?
The similarities would be in two core characteristics of destructive cults. One would be the use of a thought reform program, which would be a synthesis of coercive persuasion and influence techniques used to manipulate people and gain undue influence. The other would be that once you gain that undue influence over people, you use it to exploit them. And in the case of MLMs, that's for money. And as the woman just said in the clip, she really was saying there's no legitimate reason to leave. And if you leave, you're wrong, you're bad. There's something wrong with you, not anything wrong with the MLM. And there, again, is a characteristic of an MLM that's cult-like, is that the business plan is essentially perfect, and that if you question the business plan, you must be wrong. Now, in conventional business, business plans are always tweaked, revised, improved, changed, but the MLM claims this kind of... perfection that really doesn't exist in the business world. And so you have to ask yourself, well, why is that? What's going on here? And when people question what's happening, or they raise issues like, I'm not making any money, I'm losing money, it's always you that's wrong. It's never the MLM that has problems. For example, that there are too many distributors in a given area, and the market saturation point is ridiculous. And it's very difficult for you as a distributor to make money when there are so many others working in your area. Instead of questioning that, it's always the MLM participant that is scapegoated. You're not working the plan right. There's something wrong with you. And this blaming and shaming and this exaggerated claim of perfection is very much in the genre of groups that have been called cults.
Let's take a call now. Emily is joining us with thoughts on this. Hi, Emily.
Oh, hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
So actually, I was just listening to the comments that your guest just made, and that was part of my question or comment. You know, they always hold up the example, well, this person is doing it and they're making it, and so why can't you? And my question was, with MLMs versus pyramid schemes, with an MLM, is it possible for everybody to make a lot of money? Because from what intuitively I know of this structure, it is designed that the people on top make the most money and the people on the bottom are scrambling. But I feel like with the MLMs, they're like, oh, no, it's not a pyramid scheme. Everybody can make this money. Can you answer that question for me?
So, Emily, and you, if I could ask, you're involved in doTERRA with the essential oils?
Yes.
Yeah. How long have you been?
And I did Jamberries for a while. doTERRA, I've been with probably 5 years.
Okay. Yeah. Why did you decide to do doTERRA, if I may ask?
Well, I'm a massage therapist, and I had taken a lot of aromatherapy courses, and the oils are very high quality. They really are. They are very, very high quality product. And they work really well for therapeutic and energy work and things of that nature. Now I look at it and they're extremely expensive. There's a new company out called Revive, and their oils are really nice and they have all the scientific background that doTERRA does, and they're less than half of what they cost. And then you start to realize, oh, because 50% of the oil that you buy from doTERRA goes to commission.
Emily, thanks so much for the call. Laura, how would you respond there?
So, Emily, that's a great question. And I think you are starting to ask the questions yourself that you should be asking about a company. And as we said at the beginning of the hour, or the top of the hour, if the money that you're making or your promise to be made is premised on either bringing in more people or it's premised on the products that you're buying, if you're required to buy a significant amount of product in order to make money, then that is obviously going to be a red flag and lean it towards a pyramid scheme. If you have a product that you're able to sell and you can walk away from the multi-level marketing company, you can get a refund for the product that you may have stockpiled that you're trying to sell. If you are not required to buy bonus products. Things of that nature are a good indicator of whether or not it's a legitimate multi-level marketing company.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble with that word today. But certainly what we encourage consumers to do when they're thinking about doing this is really do their homework on the front end. And I think listening to what Rick Ross is saying, once you're embedded into the product and you believe in the product, actually taking a critical look at the way the company is structured becomes more challenging. So if you're approached by a company to do this kind of thing, you should look at their financials. You should ask how many people that are distributors are purchasing your product versus people outside of the company. You should ask what their refund policy is if you're required to buy some of the product in order to stay in. And you should ask whether or not more money is of your compensation is based on who you bring into the company rather than the product you sell. And then you should also talk to people that you trust that are not involved in the company and talk to them about what you're interested in and see what they think, what's their response, and really get an objective opinion about the company. And then lastly, you should look and see if there are any complaints. There are a lot of places you can determine whether or not there are complaints about a company, and you can determine their worth in that way as well.
Rick Ross, many of these companies have a lot of pending litigation against them. LuLaRoe, of course, being one of them, but there's a lot of other litigation out there. You know, why do you think people are drawn to these companies as we see that you make a small amount of money generally, and there is a lot of lawsuits going on?
Well, I think the caller really nailed it. She said they use these ideal examples. They will take somebody out there and say, look at this person. They have this expensive car. They live this wonderful life. And they might even show a montage of photos or clips illustrating this luxury life that this person is living as a direct result of the MLM. And they hold that person up as an icon for everyone to aspire to. And what I would say is, again, you know, Laura's really bringing out the facts and saying, look at where you're really at. Ask yourself, how much money am I making a month net from this MLM? How many hours a month do I spend regarding this MLM? Divide those hours a month into your net and ask yourself, how much above minimum wage or even minimum wage am I making? I mean, how much am I losing? Am I running up my credit cards? Am I expecting something to come as opposed to what is actually happening? I mean, you have to really be practical and look at it. And then also ask yourself, why, if this product is so good, why aren't they using infomercials? Why aren't they trying to market it through a major commercial chain? Why is it that they're using the MLM approach as opposed to a more conventional approach to sell their product?
We're in our last seconds here. And Laura, I want to ask you, if someone you know who might be a part of a predatory scheme, what should you do? How can you help them get help?
Well, you should file a complaint with the state of Wisconsin, and we're happy to see if we can help you and investigate that complaint. And you can do that at at datcp.wi.gov, or you can call our 800 number at 1-800-422-7128. And you should certainly we certainly encourage them to do some of the things that Rick Ross was just suggesting.
And we'll have those resources on our own page at WPR.org, the morning show page. Laura, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Laura Sutherland is Administrator for the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection at the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection. And Rick Ross, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Rick Ross is founder and executive director of the Cult Education Institute. Coming up, we get an update on the state budget situation with WPR's State Capitol reporter. That's after a news update. Stay with us right here on the Ideas Network.